little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Welcome, Talk Catholic, the website.com. Your host, Tim Kilcoyne. No agendas here, just the straight and narrow. Through Mary to Jesus, the Catholic faith proclaimed and preserved. Hope to see you here every week.
Talk Catholic, Tim Kilcoyne. We are into November and approaching those holidays. Is that Christmas around the corner? Oh, indeed it is. And I say that proudly as I prepare musically to be of service to you. And it's all part of my ministry. And if your parish would like to liven things up on the house.
Trumpet, flugelhorn, and bongos.
Please, 877-MAKE-PAR. All right, got the commercial in. And it is ever apropos to this time of year. I get excited.
And I had some ducks in my little backyard pond today, which tells me the pond's okay. So that makes me happy too.
What else? What's the latest in Tim's life this week as of today, as I do the show? Well, I ran into another bishop. It wasn't a bishop of this diocese, but he's a bishop that I know just a little bit, not too well.
And it was actually on the day
of this website's new creation that I introduced him to this ministry and begged him, let me be of service, please. Take a look at just a piece of Tim all through the years. And he wanted to peg me in another box, the golf box. Some of you may know that I am also a golf professional of many years, but it ain't all I am. And it's not all who you are, by the way. Don't let yourself get pigeonholed into a profile. St. Ignatius was all about integration. We are to try to bring to perfection all that is in our heart.
And to seek God in all things. Ad majorem Dei gloriam was the motto.
And that may include different endeavors, not just one. And remember, no matter what you do, you're a child of God, first and foremost. So I hope that this particular bishop will take note. And that's what I said to him. I says, Bishop, I only have one request. Would you take a look at this? Angelsonhigh.net. And if I can be of service in any way, shape, or form, please, I'm there. Here to serve. That's
Our Lady's word to Jesus. Here I am, Lord.
Is it yes or is it no? Make it yes, please. All right, what's our sermon of the week? We're going to get back and we're going to not finish up, but we are in the last chapter of Mother Angelica's Answers, Not Promises, and we are all about heaven. So that should be a little more lighthearted than the opposite place. And we're going to get to a couple of new book reviews just shortly around the corner here. Another interview with Father David Nix upcoming the first Saturday of December. And we'll be putting in the can an interview with Jesse Romero next week, actually. Next week, I'm going to do the interview. I'm not sure when it will air, but he's one of my heroes of all time. Check out jesseromero.com.
So let's get back to a little series. I'm going to call it Scripture Pearls.
A mini homily. If you're not getting it at your local church,
we will provide.
Right here. And this is from a book called Mornings with Jesus. As I've said, not a Catholic book, but a wonderful Christian pamphlet that comes out on a every two-month basis.
And it has a beautiful scripture tidbit.
And then a practical, real-world example of how to interpret that scripture. So let's give it a go here. And I'm also going to add another question from Your Questions, God's Answers with Professor Peter Kraft, all before the break. Starts with the scripture.
So here we go.
And a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 26. And here is the story that highlights that scripture. My heart hurt for my oldest daughter as she described the chronic pain she'd endured for a decade. Other than walking this journey with medical professionals and her husband, she suffered in silence
but no more. Her dad and I now knew about her situation, and we committed to seek Jesus' compassion and healing on her behalf through prayer. We've kept our word through several years of highs and lows. The biblical account of the woman healed after suffering a dozen years inspires us to persevere. This woman's pain was not only physical, she suffered emotional and mental anguish too. Within the cultural context of her day, she contaminated anyone she touched, any chair or bed on which she sat, and any dish she used. 12 years under those circumstances must have felt like a very long time, but she did not surrender hope. She braved her circumstances and sought Jesus, and he rewarded her faith in him. My daughter's journey feels like a very long time for her and her husband, too. Chronic pain takes a toll. Some days are brighter than others, but even in the dark, we cling to hope. Jesus knows our daughter's situation, and he hears our cries for help. We will continue to seek his face and trust him for a good outcome in his time. Grace Fox. And the tidbit of wisdom here, Faith Step, it's called. Send a text, email, or greeting card to someone who suffers from chronic pain. Make it a sweet reminder of Jesus' love. So I'm sure that this particular story speaks to many of us who have had, in fact, just this past week as I speak, you know, I had a whole series of setbacks within my family, within this apostolate, my ministry, on the part of myself physically a little bit. And then I lost a dear friend. What really happened was, within the family context, a husband of my niece, Andrew is his name, suffered a stroke. And he's only in his early 30s and has two little ones. So I ask you deeply for continued prayer for his full recovery. And that was just a shocker. And then in the midst of that, I find out that maybe I would consider him a second dad, a man that I used to go to quite often since my father's departure 15 years ago. His name is Bob Levesque, and he used to work for me in the golf business, and he was just a salt of the earth type with a lot of practical wisdom. And we would do coffee and try to solve all the problems of the world. And it was so beautiful and sad. It was kind of a mixed scenario of his departure, but apparently, it sounded like he and his wife fell and at the same time.
Together.
And that was the beginning of
the physical spiral downward.
And they were
73 years married. How about that?
Bob and Doris. And they were just the quintessential Catholic couple. There were not games being played in this relationship. All right, this was just a beautiful, complimentary, holy, evenly yoked Catholic couple. No, there are those who get upset at me for just saying that because of the difficulty of the brokenness in our marriages out there. But you got to have a bar to hold up high. And they did so well. I'm going to miss them terribly. And then I had another little injury to my coccyx area. I had a wicked head neck injury going back to 2013. That knocked me on the shelf relative to golf. And it kind of makes a return from time to time and took me off guard this past week. And so that was, again, in the midst of all of this other stuff happening simultaneously. And you just like have to take a deep breath and ask the Lord, Father, please sustain me. Keep me up. Keep me up. This too will pass.
But speaking of chronic pain, in this new website, angelsonhigh.net, you'll see a picture of a gentleman fishing with a nice sheepdog in front of him. And that so happened to be my roommate from Boston College of many years ago, who died at 33, our Lord's age, of rheumatoid arthritis or all of its complications. And there was nobody in my lifetime that suffered greater ongoing pain daily than Mr. Robert Schlitzer in Framingham, Mass. And I honor him with that beautiful picture of him on my website under the section called American Classics. Indeed he was. And he never lost his deep, deep Catholic faith and joy, nor hope. And this is that fruit of perseverance in prayer that he had. And he was indeed ready way before his time. So all things possible with God. And now I'd just like to turn to Peter Kreft and another question for our catechesis this week. And this question speaks to our scripture story as well as Bob's life. What do I really want out of life? Perhaps that is the wrong question, Professor Kreft says. Perhaps you should be asking what life wants out of you. What do I want out of life? That sounds like life is a supermarket and you get things out of it. What does life want out of me? That sounds like life is more like a friend and you give as much as you get. If there is no God, then life is indeed like a supermarket, a large material thing that you can manipulate to your own convenience. But if God stands behind life and in it, then you are dealing with a person, not just a thing. And you don't ask what you get out of a person unless you're treating a person like a thing. That's what slavery is, really treating a person as a thing, using persons as means to what you want. So let's change the question from what do I expect from life to what does life expect from me? What are the challenges that life has given to me? Being alive means meeting challenges, growing up, making friends, relating to your family, succeeding in school, career, marriage. All these things are challenges and we respond to them. Responsibility means response, ability. Ability to respond to life's challenges. Growing up means accepting response, ability. How does God come into this growing up? In two ways. First, God is the only totally grown up. The great scientist, doctor, and musician Albert Schweitzer said when he was 70, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. God has responsibility for the whole universe. To become more responsible, more grown up, is to become more like God. But in the second place, God is also forever young. He never gets bored or tired, even in making millions of blades of grass, one after another, like a little child saying, do it again. And he surprises you. Read the Bible, and you will find that surprise is one of the marks of God's presence. Stay close to God, and you will stay young forever. The Psalm 103, verse 5. He fills my life with good things so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. So in our first scripture homily, the woman who was praying for her daughter was a grown-up. She was responding to a major challenge and doing it in the best possible way, praying. Not knowing if the chronic pain was ever going to cease. But like St. Monica, she was going to persevere, and this was the grown-up thing to do. Whether the pain would leave or not, just like my roommate, Bob, his pain never left him. And yet, he responded to life's challenges and kept going. He would be very much immersed in his swimming routine and never missed a class at BC in 4 years. Can you imagine waking up in the morning in serious pain from rheumatoid arthritis, and yet he never missed a class? Talk about a tribute to the human spirit that only comes from the Holy Spirit. So Bob was a great grown-up, and he was never going to, and he knew that he wasn't going to have a normal life. He wasn't going to have all the things that everybody wants to have, get married and have children and have the nice house and the whole bit. It wasn't within his grasp. Just waking up the next day was a question mark. And he only got 33 years to do it. So what was the meaning of his life? Well, it was indeed, and I went out to dinner with Bob many, many times, and he never got derailed from his regimen. You know, was he, I'm not going to say that he was a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. He was suffering terribly. But like a soldier, and I think of my father's very much Marine motto, keep going, Tim. That was Bob's motto for sure. And how many souls did he win just by the testimony of his life's example? Those who saw him struggle just to get in and out of the car. That alone was Christ among us, and evoked compassion for him, I'm sure, by so many that I never knew. This is what Professor Kreft, I think, is trying to say. It's just not about what we're going to do with life, but what life is going to hand to us
like the people that I just mentioned at the beginning of the show. My family member, Andrew, was certainly not expecting that at his age. We do not know, you know, what God has in store tomorrow, but we keep going, and we will do so right here at WQPH Radio, 89.3 FM.
A woman who never stopped for God, despite her chronic pain, which lasted many, many years, a la St. Padre Pio, and in time was healed. Mother Mary Angelica, answers, not promises, on the other side.
Well, we're in the last chapter, What Will Heaven Be Like? And Mother gave a very powerful story about her grandfather, Anthony, who was virtually ready to leave, ready to depart for our Lord. But before that, a couple of old friends showed up at the door.
But they had already died years ago. That's right, you heard me correct.
And they said, Anthony, and he knew what they were saying, time to come home. And he said, yes.
Well, first he had said no, because he didn't want to leave his wife and loved ones, because he knew what they were asking. But then he said yes.
And he only died a few minutes later. These are real stories, ladies and gentlemen. I'm reminded a dear friend that I just found out, he died about a week ago at the recording of this show, and his name was Bob.
Mentioned earlier.
Great lover of the game of golf. And
our Lord and Our Lady.
A superstar of Amesbury, Mass. Just a pillar. And Bob told me about his own mother when she was dying, and that the Blessed Mother came right to her. She saw her and apparently spoke to her. And I'm reminded of a good brother,
Benedictine
Bartholomew Sinnott, when I was spending quite a bit of time with him in the nursing home down his home stretch. And he was out of it. And then all of a sudden, I was saying my chaplet for him in a rosary and had my eyes semi-closed because he started rising up in the bed and looked like he was receiving communion. I have no doubt he was. These things happen, just as miracles happen. And
Mother also talks about
heaven being both a state and a place. And with regard to being a state, this is where in Scripture it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him. So if you're in a state of grace, you're already in heaven. You don't have all the worries. I wonder if I'll make it or not. This is why confession is so important often, not just once a year, or a couple of times, three times a year. You know, this is misguided education over many decades.
You ain't going to get hurt by going to confession
very often. Now, you don't want to get, scrupulous. Yes, that's a problem. We'll worry about that later. We don't have to worry about too many people being over-scrupulous because they're going to confession too often. I see very few people on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and that's very sad because we all got sins. And so it also explains that we don't like to correct people. But the reason we do it, certainly part of my job, is that we want people to be in that state of grace. In other words, we want purgatory to happen here and now. We don't want to go there. God love us that we get there instead of the other place. But we really want to do kind of our purgatory here and now, okay, so that really we'll be ready to see God face to face upon our departure. So it's a very important concept, not concept, reality, that heaven begins now.
If you're willing.
Eternal time is grace-filled time. And we, through the sacraments of the Catholic Church, have a direct link to that divine life to participate in our Lord's divinity. This is real stuff. This is how Padre Pio had so many mystical gifts like bilocation and reading people's hearts, you know, the stigmata itself.
The five wounds of Christ.
You don't receive some of these, and so many of the mystics were prophetic, okay, had mystical visions of the future, etc. These things come to people who avail themselves with that big yes to God. Come and make your home with me, Lord.
I'm available. Are you?
So, in any event, Mother continues on. Heaven can't wait. Most of us have this crazy notion that when we die, we will suddenly be confronted with three big doors that lead to heaven, hell, or purgatory.
as if eternity were some kind of daytime quiz show. While we feel that a future in heaven would be nice, most of us figure that it is beyond our reach. Our hopes are pinned on door number two, the door to purgatory, and we hope against hope that when the time comes, we'll be able to slide into the back of that great halfway house in the sky. Now, this is no slight on the halfway house. St. Thomas assures us that the saddest day in purgatory is 1,000 times more joyful than the happiest day on earth. But the truth is that you don't slide into any dimension of your spiritual life. All of us begin our journey to heaven, hell, or purgatory right here on earth. Our supernatural life is the journey of our soul. And like any journey, the first steps are just as important as the last steps and all the steps in between. So if you're thinking that you can slide into purgatory at the last minute, or that you might be able to talk your way into heaven after a life of disgraceful behavior, or if you're one of those just-in-case Christians who figure you'll get holy in your old age, forget it. Your eternal life is on God's time, not your time. And the time to start working on it is now. What we must realize is that our soul grows and matures and achieves its ultimate level of holiness in this life and this life only. I know so many who are members of the now generation, and it seems like the only thing they put off until later is the development of their spiritual life. But later could mean never in the context of the supernatural. All the elements of this life, the sorrows, the joys, the setbacks, the trials, combine with the grace of God to mold and form us into His image. Every piece of truth that we accept, every opportunity for holiness that is placed in our path, every slap in the face that we must accept as Jesus accepted it, pulls us closer to Jesus or propels us away from Him. Whatever capacity for love the soul has grown to at death will determine its glory and joy in heaven. And yet, some of us have a hard time focusing on this faraway place. It is as if our eyes are covered by a strange haze that keeps us from grasping the reality of our true purpose in life. Sometimes the haze is sheer intellectual laziness. Other times it's sin, riches, lust, alcohol, pride, desire for human glory. If you find it difficult to focus on heaven as the purpose of your life, take a look at what it is, or who it is, that is keeping you away from it. What is it that makes you desire to live in a mud shack rather than a mansion? What is it in your life that clouds your vision so badly? So at the next cocktail party, you're going to ask your neighbor right next to you, what do you think of heaven? What do you think it's all about? Your mother's not asking all of us to be theologians, all right? We don't have to go back to school, get a PhD in all of this theology. No, we can be ourselves and talk about meaningful stuff. You know, the stuff that goes below the surface that makes the evening much more enjoyable and interesting. Meaning of life stuff, as opposed to the mundane domestic stuff that everybody tends to dwell on at typical cocktail parties. The keeping up with the Joneses, your latest car that you bought, how the Red Sox are doing. Okay, all good necessarily, maybe, but doesn't go to the deeper level of the person. You don't really have a sense that you know them at that level that Mother's talking about, which is the only level that you should be caring about. I know so many, we Catholics are just brutal with regard to everything that she just described about
the nominal Catholic,
last-minute Christians. And we'll put this off until, our deathbed or something close to it, or old age, all right? No. Okay, I can just share with you my own personal experience of having been a lay Catholic evangelist much of my professional life, and it's only brought out the best in me and others that I'm speaking to, all right? So give it a try, at least. Go below the surface once in a while. And I think everybody knows somebody in their family that just won't go there, can't open up the door to the conversation at the minimalist level. There's a problem. There's a big time problem. And not only you have to pray for that person, but you got to look for little portals that can maybe be the time and the place to open the door. That's what we're all called to do, not only for ourselves, but for others around us.
I remember the political journalist, conservative William F. Buckley,
making the comment to paraphrase that if you bring up faith at a cocktail party, you'll be left looking into your glass. Well, we better change that at the cocktail party, as the devil is on steroids, if anybody's noticed recently in our time. So let's go beyond the superficial and make it count for your soul and theirs. This is WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. Make heaven your destination. Every day, God bless. Let your light shine. That is what it's all about here at WQPH Radio 89.3 FM. But we need to hear your story. You want your voice to be his voice. That is making the faith known to others. Please, my number is 877-625-3727. Tim Kilcoyne, talkcatholic.com. St. Mother Teresa told us, your ministry is your work right where you are. Grab on to this microphone. God bless.